Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
I'm Brock Martin.
And I am Denny Burin.
Today we're talking about the best time to buy your first house. This time.
Ooh. Yes. It's a big topic.
Yep. We're here with special guest Denny Burin. Denny's a realtor for Colorado Home Realty out here in Denver, Colorado. Denny, thanks for joining us.
Okay, wait. Before we get into this, Denny and Steve, you guys have a little history.
That was a fantastic introduction.
I was going to say
a little segue.
Usually
you halted that.
Usually special and Denny come in a different context, but that was nice of you to say.
Denny
that.
And I do go way back. Denny, do you want to
take it away, Denny?
I'd rather
Denny probably
not talk
remembers
about
the moment he first met me.
I have nightmares to this day. Steve Priest was a student at CSU with cornrows.
Not a very good student.
That's actually true.
He had teardrop tattoos that he has since removed from his face.
That's not true.
But he was a
I
student
did have a chin
was a
strap.
Focus missionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denny was a focus missionary at Colorado State University. Go Rams out there.
Go Rams.
By the way, the Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.
Let's
look
go.
Out.
What's
look
good. What is going on?
Dion.
And
Thomas, we're talking about
football.
I was going through my conversion.
Not soccer.
Denny was assigned there. Year one that Focus got to CSU, right?
Yeah. First guys and girls.
And
in there.
He was one of the first missionaries. Joined Bible study, discipleship. Not officially with Denny, if we're being completely transparent. Adam, I love you, but you're not a listener, so I don't have to worry about you hearing this.
I am definitely a listener, so I'm glad you're talking.
But Denny and I became great friends back in the day, long time ago, and we've been good friends ever since. So, Denny, we are so glad to have you here. We're talking real estate, which you know a lot about.
Mm, that's my job.
And I think the topic of the day is when to buy your first home.
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
What would be your initial advice if someone came to you and said, "Okay, Denny, I'm first time home buyer, just got married, whatever it is, I want to buy a home. Should I buy right now? Look at mortgage rates, etc. Look at the time of year, whatever it is. You've heard all the excuses. What would you say to someone who says, "Should I buy a home now?"
I would say, if you can afford to buy a home, if you can comfortably pay your mortgage without not eating, then you should buy a home. Whenever that is. So I guess if you're super fatty, you could probably buy a house and not eat for a little bit.
Fatty looks, physically or fatty dough, like money?
No, like fatty, like
fat rich.
Large.
Obese.
Just obese. Got it. Okay. So you have more time to
burn
buy a
up
house.
The calories and not eat.
But you would advise someone pretty quickly to buy a house.
Yeah. Literally, if you have enough money, you should buy a house.
And how do you know that?
You look at what the mortgage payment. You're consuming a house on a monthly payment. Don't look at the big number of how much the house costs. Mm-hmm. Look at how much you're paying each month. And that is what the important thing is. Can you digest that number or can you not? If you can't, then you can't buy a house. You should not buy a house, and a bank probably won't let you buy a house. But if you can, there's a good chance that interest rates will go down sometime in the future. A couple of weeks ago, they were at a 20-year high in interest rates. But if you buy now, you can refinance. So if you can afford it now,
let's pause it's only on refinance because that's a newer term. It's an older term, but it's a complex term, I think, to some first-time home buyers. They're not even thinking that yet. They're thinking just how do I get in the market? Brock, what did you think the first time you bought your first home?
I thought we were spending way too much money. But I
couldn't sleep for months.
Seriously, but I tell people we bought our first house in 2016. And when I tell people, young couples now who talk to us about buying a house in Denver now, and they hear what we bought our house for, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, you are so lucky." And so I do think that there's always that argument that 5 years from now, even though the prices now seem crazy, there's a chance that 5 years from now, you'll be looking back saying, "Wow, that was the best financial decision I ever made."
Yep.
The flip side could also be true. I mean, if the prices do come down 5 years from now, you could look back and say, "Man, that was a really terrible decision." But I think
that's pretty
most
rare.
People.
That's pretty rare.
Like 2008, that happened.
It did happen.
Literally, people lost their shirt. They bought a house that they couldn't really afford. Mm-hmm. And then they got upside down and had to foreclose, which means the bank basically took it back.
So before we keep going into this, though, I think this is an important topic for men because it's very closely connected to our call as husbands and fathers to be provident, to protect our families, to provide for our families.
Yeah.
And so I think this is an important topic because I think where Thomas is going to take us is typically for your average Joe, your home is kind of the biggest source of wealth.
The biggest purchase that you will make.
And so when you're thinking about, "Hey, I'm called to provide, to protect my family," a house is a big part of that, right? Like I think that there's something to be said for the amount of wealth that you can generate with a house.
Great, so, great tee up. So census.gov was an article, August 27th, 2019. Many U.S. households do not have the biggest contributors to wealth, and that's home equity, which is buying a house, having real estate, and retirement accounts. This is August 27th, 2019, the article. The first line, wealth inequality between homeowners and renters is striking. Homeowners' median net worth is 80 times larger than renters' median net worth. Now, sometimes that's because renters are younger and haven't gotten into the market yet. But I think that does, I think both Brock and Steve hit on that point, which is why, Denny, I think that's so important for you to help us think through this. You said biggest purchase most Americans will make, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Except for the really wealthy. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's also their one of their biggest sources of wealth as they yep. age. And
greatest their asset equity. As well,
yep.
yeah.
Yep. And so that's why I think I would say it's super important to try to get in the market as soon as you can prudently.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. Because this is such a big piece of your yep. future wealth that you know you can do a lot with or yeah. you can give to your children or you can sell and donate.
So. Yep. So the guys that we're talking to, I think, are college aged, maybe fresh out of college, newly married, engaged. They're in this time period. I think most of the guys that are listening to the Man Catholic podcast. And I think this is a very important topic for the guys of today because I don't know. I think it's easier to rent. It's the easier decision, right? It's low risk. It's not stressful. But financially, compared to trying to get into the market, it's a terrible decision to just rent that much. Now, sometimes renting is the right decision. Don't get me wrong.
Flexibility.
I have rented. Yeah. My family did for years before we were in a situation where we could buy. But I remember buying my first house in 2012 and we were freaked out that we couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were raising our support and again the number back then, and I'll share it because it was now over 10 years ago, but it was $260,000 for a four bedroom house in Denver, Colorado.
What people would do for that price yeah. at this point.
And
yeah.
and I laid in bed, eyes open, looking at the ceiling thinking, what do I do if I can't afford that? Like, what are my outs?
Mail the keys to the bank and yeah, run yeah. your stuff.
But it was stressful and we had sacrifices. We made a lot of sacrifices. Yep. Even before that, like crazy, eliminating debt and saving up, we sacrificed like crazy in order to get that down payment and to buy that house.
Let me jump on that too, because I was a year later when we bought our first house, 2013.
Yeah.
Similar, even cheaper, it was yeah. further out of Denver, so it was a little cheaper area, but still like, dang, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I did it was because the two bedroom, two bath apartment that we rented our first year of marriage was 800 and some bucks a month, and they were jumping it to 1100, which again is super cheap right. in today's price. But mm-hmm. but I thought, forget that.
Yeah.
I could pay a little bit more and have a house yeah. build equity, which is value in a home. So what I did though is I sold, I had a Nissan Murano. I still had some payments on. So I went and I sold it on Good Friday because I was like, I need that extra income. And so we went down to one car.
Had nothing for to do a little with bit. Good Friday. Yeah. It, just,
nope,
was
it just was coincidental. Yeah. I've okay. also killed snakes on Good Friday. But okay, so
that's
I was like, I need the cash flow so I can make that payment a little more comfortably because yeah. it's a big deal. It's like you're totally nervous, you're sweating,
yep.
but what a gift. Because to Brock's point again, I'm going to underscore that if you want to be a father one day, if you're not, or if you are and you're still wrestling with this, like yeah. getting that for continuity, for planting roots, for yep. Your children's sake, for getting involved in your community, but also just to grow a little bit of financial freedom as you build equity.
So, Denny, I want to go back to you. We talked about eliminating debt. We talked about talking to the bank. You're the realtor. What step are you in the process? Do we just pick up the phone and call a realtor? Do we need to eliminate debt in our lives before we buy a house, which is obviously incurring more debt? Do we need to talk to a mortgage broker or a bank? What would you say are some of the prudent steps to going about buying a house for the first time?
Well, first off, I think a house is basic necessity of life. You need shelter. So you're going to get it in one way or another. You're going to have a rent. You're going to live with your parents. You're going to be under a roof somewhere. If you are going to be looking into buying a house, you need to understand how much you can afford. So getting rid of debt is great because a bank or a lender will look at your debt to income ratio. They're going to look through your bank statements. They're going to see what you owe and what you make, how much goes in, how much goes out. And they won't let you buy a house. There's different parameters depending on your credit score. But basically, they won't let you get into a situation that you can't handle. That is the whole job, is they want their money back. So they want to loan you money and they want to get it back. So that's a great place to start. Because if they say, hey, you can't buy a house, then you should not look at Zillow every night or Redfin. You should just sit down and enjoy your mother's cooking while living in her basement.
And Denny, they would tell you why, right? So then you could try to fix it or
they would definitely tell you why.
Exactly. I mean, are we calling Bank of America or are we calling a mortgage lender?
No, I would call, I have got many people who are really good at their jobs, who are local people, who are lenders. And lenders, a lot of them can pick different banks and their different programs they have through those banks to find the best loan for you.
Got it.
So if you go to Bank of America, Bank of America has basically one product they sell to you. Mm-hmm. But these other guys, they can look around and find what fits.
I think too, if you're listening to this and you don't live in Denver, a great place to start is look at the back of a church bulletin. There's bound to be a Catholic realtor on the
right
back of that bulletin.
Right next to the Knights of Columbus insurance. Right.
There's probably
agent.
12 realtors on the back of
but,
the
But the realtor can
The realtor
can
might know
you,
a good broker, right?
To a lender, yeah.
Literally every realtor lender, knows quite a few mortgage lenders who are legit. So you can start with a realtor. You can start with a lender, but I probably would start with a realtor. And the way you find a realtor is you talk to people. I would do it word of mouth. You could do the church bulletin, but I guarantee you know someone who bought a house and had a good experience. Call them. Be like, hey, who'd you use? What's going on?
That's a great point.
So they call you. What would you do in your first visit with them, your first conversation?
I would buy them Starbucks coffee. I remember my first realtor. We had no money or very little
Starbucks
money.
Starbucks sucks.
And some people hate Starbucks, so
I do.
I know you do.
Thomas is the crazy
That's
article.
Another podcast. Another
he
podcast.
Just, yeah. He just yells random things sometimes, Denny. Sorry about that.
I get all my Starbucks at Target, so it's great.
Target's targeting your kids.
Oh my gosh.
Cut this
amazing.
Guy off.
But yeah, it's usually an educational process the first time you meet because people have no idea what they're doing. Okay. They're just like, they have this idea, this American dream, essentially, and they don't know where to start. So that's kind of my job. And my favorite part is that first meeting and just kind of walking people through the process because it can get tricky, but it can be simplified too. Mm-hmm.
So one thought for the single guys, you guys can speak into this, but we know people that have done this where if you're single, maybe you're thinking, I don't care where I live. I'm paying $300 to live in someone's closet because who cares? But think about getting into the market as well because the earlier you do, again, the more equity because as your home value goes up and you pay down your mortgage, then the difference between those two is called equity. And that's wealth. It's paper wealth, but it's wealth if you ever sold the home, you make the money, right? So if you're single, buy a house, hopefully that you can afford, but then have three of your good buddies move in and pay you. So then you're either paying down the mortgage more quickly.
Yeah.
If you need to get out of a PMI, which is mortgage insurance, because you don't have enough down payment, or you're investing that money, saving that money, and then you're just in a really good place 3 years later, 4 years later, maybe you then get married.
Yep.
You've already got a house that's that you've been making payments on for 4 years. So just think about those kinds of opportunities to get in instead of paying your money to someone else with no equity, getting that investment and get that asset.
So a piece of advice I got, 11 years ago when we bought our first house was there's two great times to buy a house, 10 years ago and today. Now, a lot of people are thinking not today. Prices are up.
Rates
are up.
Rates are high.
Denny, let's get into that refi topic that you brought up earlier. So let's talk to the guys who either just bought a house and they're thinking, what did I just do? Let's talk to that group. Or let's talk to the group that says, I don't want to buy right now because of the situation and why it still might make sense to buy right now with the option of a refi.
Well, I think an important thing to note is that all of us made sacrifices for when we purchased our first house. There were things that made us uncomfortable, but we did it for the betterment of our family or for us and our wives. That is important to remember because a lot of people still want to have all that they have now and get a house and it might not be that comfortable. So keeping that in mind, I would say that when you buy a house, you get an interest rate and you live with that interest rate until you change it. That interest rate will go up or down. But if it goes up, your interest rate is whatever you locked it in at when you bought your house.
That's called a fixed rate.
A fixed
which
rate.
Is called
right.
a fixed Almost interest every rate. Mortgage, right?
Or there's majority of mortgages. There's a lot to it. I got an adjustable rate mortgage when I bought my first house. And after 3 years, it was going to go up, but we sold our house. after 3 years and it didn't go up. So, but a fixed rate mortgage is what majority of people will get. And when they get this, it is locked in for the life of the loan, which is typically 30 years. If interest rates drop, you have the opportunity to call your lender and say, hey, I would like to refinance and this costs money. So they think about it, it'll cost you about $2,000, but you get to use the new rate instead of your old rate. So if it's at 7% now and it drops to 5.5%, you can refinance and have that 5.5% locked in for the rest of the life of the loan.
And if you buy a $500,000 house at that 7% and go down to 5.5%, it's well worth $2,000 to refi. Oh, yeah.
Right. If you're going to be in the house probably for another year, it would be worth it.
We're talking like, yeah, $600 a month, $500 a month probably.
I mean, it makes it worth it pretty
quickly. Oh, it's really, I mean, and they'll walk you through the financial benefits or not if it doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. So a lender will have their super duper smart calculator and beep, 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 and figure it all out real
beep,
quick for you.
Beep, beep. So yes. No one can predict the future.
Yeah, right? I can.
Except for you.
You can ask a weird question.
That's we should take. I wish people could call
in. What makes Denny the best realtor in Denver is he actually knows what's going to happen.
I do have a magic eight ball upstairs. I can shake it up.
I don't think you should do that.
So we just did a podcast on that.
You should.
Wait, is magic eight ball?
Yeah, that's probably
from
bad.
Satan.
You should probably get rid of that.
Heavens.
Satan uses one if that says anything for you.
Do you have a Ouija board up there too?
No, it's in the basement.
So I think one thing that I think is really helpful, and this was super helpful for me that I want to share, is if you are listening to this and you're in the process of trying to buy a house, or maybe you have a house and you want to refi, talk to people who you look up to and you respect who are doing this. Mm-hmm. Talk to people who are smarter than you, who are a couple years ahead of you. I think that it's really a huge gift to have older brothers in life to say, hey, can I take you out for a beer and just pick your brain on some real estate stuff?
Yep.
And literally come with a notepad and a pen, ask every single question you can.
It's great advice.
I think that is a huge gift for young guys who are kind of lost or maybe overwhelmed by the prospect of what we're talking about. And so I just want to give you confidence. If you're in that boat, find somebody you respect, an older brother, somebody who's a couple years ahead, take him out for a beer and ask him, what should I do? Here's my circumstances. These are the things I'm thinking about. These are my needs. These are the parameters, my finances. And let him teach you.
Mm-hmm. But no offense to the older generation, I would ask advice from people who have a lifestyle that you want to emulate. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's a good
there's
point.
A lot. Like my in-laws tried to talk us out of buying our first house, which was the by far the best financial decision of our life because we did not have 20% to put down. And that was ludicrous to them. But in 3 years, we made $100,000. And that was more than I made as a teacher back then. So we made more just living in a house.
Did you buy a Ferrari?
That's because the value of the house went up in that time.
Yeah, the value of the house appreciated $100,000, and I had been paying into the mortgage, so I had more equity than even $100,000. So it was amazing. The old people tried to talk us out of it. It made Rachel go into labor. Like, literally, we were at a family party, and they were so
was
stressing
she pregnant?
Us out. She was pregnant.
That's a great question.
That
Thomas.
Is a
Thanks
weird question. See, I predicted you would ask a weird question. There it was.
So you can't predict the future. And you were going, that's your second question. I think is spectacular on that. What about the market right now? And people are like, man, do I get in?
Yeah.
And if people are savvy with real estate and mortgage stuff and know a little bit and are playing with this, you can buy a house where the sellers of the house will pay your interest rate down for a year or two. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of thing. But it's interesting because some people are saying, oh, it's going to crash just like 2008. But a lot of people will talk about how the lenders are under different rules than they were in 2008. So people aren't getting money as easily as they did back then. So it's probably not the same. And I don't want to get into all that.
There were a lot more problems in 2008.
A lot more problems.
Yeah.
Right. Watch the
nonetheless, it's super expensive. Home values are really high. And now interest rates are getting really high. But there's some that speculate that, again, we can't predict the future, that as whenever rates start going down, whether it's 6 months, 12 months,
right.
Prices are going to start ticking back up.
Everyone's coming out the woodwork, baby.
Mm-hmm. So the one theory
I'm
is...
I'm going to get my Ferrari then.
That's right. By now, when the prices have dipped a little bit and then refinance a year, 2 years from now. So there is some strategy to get in the market now, even though it's kind of crazy. So I don't know if you have any other thoughts on that.
This is my favorite time of year to buy, from Halloween to January 1st.
Because no one wants to move.
Yeah,
right?
No one wants to move. They're desperate.
School,
there's four major holidays.
In the winter.
My wife and I closed on a house Halloween of 2020 with Denny as our realtor.
There you go.
And he encouraged us. He's like, this is a great time.
Hey, Denny was my realtor on 2 properties now, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
He was on one of mine too.
Yeah. So it's
a great job, guys.
This is this,
cheers,
man. Without you, I wouldn't have anything to drink.
Yeah, we
tonight.
Paid for your Thanks, car guys. In the trip garage.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is my favorite time of year to buy as a buyer. The sellers are desperate. They need to sell. No one wants to sell this time of year. It's more of a necessity. And I don't want to say you can take advantage of that, but there's some motivation on the seller's side that isn't always going to be
there. You can get a good deal.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good way of putting
it. So go online. Even Google has a great mortgage calculator. Go online. Put in a home price. It'll dump in the mortgage rates. You can pick 15 or 30 year. And it'll tell you what your monthly payments would be. I think that's a great place to start. See kind of what you think you might be able to afford. Then call up a realtor like Denny or a lender and sit down and just say, look, I am not even sure I'm ready to buy a house yet. I just want to start having some initial conversations.
Yep.
As Brock said, grab some people that are close to you, that are doing well, that are a couple steps ahead of you in life and pick their brains as well. I think there's a lot of things you can do, but I think getting into the market whenever, as soon as you can, is a good thing.
Amen.
And as men, as providers for our family, as especially a lot of the men who are building families and starting families, I think this is a big, heavy topic. But it doesn't have to be. And there's great people in your life already, I promise you, that can help you through it. So that's how you enter the market and buy your first house. Denny, thanks for joining us.
Heck yeah.
So
yeah.
Follow Denny on Facebook. He's got
Cocktails and Cribs.
It's no, Cribs and Cocktails.
Son of a gun. Well, iconic. He doesn't listen to our podcast. Man, you guys were friends. Whatever.
Not really friends. We were friends.
We're going to be featured on one of his upcoming Cribs and Cocktails videos.
Cocktails and Cribs,
We're going to make something super yum-yum in the tum-tum. But yeah, I think the biggest thing to remember on houses, a house is a home. It's where you're making memories with your family forever and where you make cocktails. And like every one of us probably has a very distinct memory of some experience in your first house.
Yeah.
Your first, you carried your wife over the threshold. You had a Chinese dinner on the floor.
Children.
I actually want to tell you mine.
Yeah.
Do it. The day I closed on my first house. I had the air conditioner on because it was middle of summer.
It broke.
No, it was
day
on.
Day one.
And I left the door open and I called my dad and I said, Dad,
I've
the air conditioner's
on.
The door's open. There's nothing you can do about it.
I leave the refrigerator.
And I will
open.
Say a month later, I called him. I was like, yeah, I just saw my electric bill. Yeah. I see why you
win,
got
Dad.
So pissed at that.
You're letting all the paid air out.
All right, guys, that's it for today in the Man Catholic Podcast. Go buy a first house prudently if you can. God bless.